hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to the Wildcats of Villanova University, who won their second U.S. men's college basketball title in thrilling fashion Monday night in Houston, Texas. In one of the greatest finals in the 78-year history of the championship tournament, Villanova edged North Carolina 77-74 on a buzzer-beating three-point shot by Chris Jenkins. The game-winning play began when Jenkins inbounded the ball under North Carolina's basket to Villanova point guard Ryan Archidiacono. Arch dribbled quickly past midcourt before passing the ball to Jenkins, who confidently made the dramatic shot, one that will be shown on highlight reels over and over again in the years to come. Let's listen in to the exciting call of the final few seconds by Villanova broadcaster Ryan Fannin.
3 seconds to go across the timeline. 2 seconds to go. Jenkins three, right wing to win it. He made it! He made the three!
Yes, Villanova, the kings of college basketball once again, 31 years after the Wildcats won their first national title. At the post-game news conference, Chris Jenkins described his game-winning shot.
I always take the ball out. So from previous games, I realized when I take the ball out and the ball gets up the court, the defenders usually follow the ball. So I knew when I gave Arch the ball, he was going to be aggressive, and you know they were going to try to take Arch away because he's hit big shots in his career. So when they all followed the ball, I just knew, you know, if I get in his line of vision, then he'll find me. And for him to be so unselfish and give up the ball, you know, it just shows what type of teammate he is, what type of person he is. We put a lot of work in, you know, this team, and you know everybody has the confidence to catch and shoot. So when Arch threw me the ball, One-two-step and shoot him up, sleep in the streets.
Shoot him up and sleep in the streets. Villanova basketball hero Chris Jenkins, who played his high school basketball right here in Washington for Gonzaga. A crowd of more than 74,000 watched the Villanova North Carolina title game at NRG Stadium in Houston. Meanwhile, the women's national title game will be played later Tuesday night in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Huskies of Connecticut are the favorite to beat the Orange of Syracuse and win an unprecedented fourth consecutive national championship. The Huskies are also aiming for a record-extending 11th national women's crown.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Can't get enough of the sunny side of sports? Well, we've solved that problem. We now have a half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC GMT. So visit voanews.com for more details and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of the VOA's Africa News Tonight radio show. Now let's go back to Houston, Texas. It's where you might say 38-year-old American golfer Jim Herman turned in a masterful performance. Herman won the Shell Houston Open on Sunday, and with the trophy, he also qualified for his first Masters appearance this week. John Brooks tells us more from Houston.
Cinderella came to the Shell Houston Open Sunday afternoon, and she didn't lose her slipper, and she stayed for the ball. Such it was as highly unlikely Jim Herman, a non-tour winner until Sunday, used a 40-foot chip-in on the 16th hole to propel himself to a one-stroke victory over number 7 world-ranked Henrik Stenson. Herman waited until 33 years of age to make the tour, and 5 years later is getting that dream of getting to play at Augusta. The 38-year-old Herman began the day tied for the lead with Jamie Lovemark, who willed it early. Meanwhile, Stenson, playing brilliantly, began a back-and-forth dance at the top of the leaderboard with Herman. But as the day wore on, the years of trying to make the tour, the failures until he finally did at the age of 33, they finally paid off.
I've been playing really well this whole year, but I haven't had any results. And, I finished 17th at Pebble. I had a pretty bad Florida swing. Just maybe too high of expectations at Honda, and it was really windy at Tampa, and seemed like my iron game and my long game was off. My short game and putting has been really good the last month, but switched out putters this week to just a newer model of what I had been using, but it was the same model, had a great feel, and I think I had one 3-putt this week.
And the result, a long-awaited victory. Number 9-ranked Dustin Johnson finished third at 13-under, 275 behind Stenson. Spaniard Rafa Cabrero-Bello had the day's best round, a 7-under par. He finished the tournament at 12-under at 276. Defending Masters champion Jordan Spieth further down the board at 8-under par, 280. Among the South Africans in the field, the highest finish by Charles Schwartzel. He tied for 13th, 8-under par, 280. Ernie Els finished 3-under, 285. Tyrone Van Osvegen, a 287, 1-under par, and 2 strokes over par, Retief Goosen at 290. But the spotlight belonged at the end on Jim Herman, who had a 2010 Web.com Tour victory as the only first-place finish on his resume until Sunday, when he played like a multi-tournament winner. For the Sunny Side of Sports, John Brooks, Houston.
Thanks, John, and congratulations to Jim Herman. Masterful performance at the Shell Houston Open. And Jim, now looking forward to his first appearance at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. The Masters, arguably the biggest golf tournament here in the United States, along with the PGA. The Masters teeing off on Thursday in Augusta, Georgia, and Jim Herman will be part of the field. Congratulations, Jim. You get a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, let's kick off in Europe. Any recent African goal-scoring highlights?
Yes, indeed, Sonny, and also some big praise coming for the young Nigerian, Alex Iwobi. But first of all, the goal scorers. Mbokani, the Democratic Republic of Congo striker, he scored one of the goals for Norwich City in a vital 3-2 victory over fellow relegation candidates Newcastle United. Iwobi was on target for Arsenal, the second of 4 goals that the Gunners scored in a 4-0 rout of Watford. And that was really sweet revenge because recently Watford knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup. And after that match, Arsene Wenger, who's not an easy man to please, he's the Frenchman, the long-serving manager of Arsenal, he had some really nice things to say about young Alex Iwobi. He said, "These people," describing the fans, "have seen many good players over the years, and they know straight away when a player has something special, so they acknowledge that." He went on, "You cannot cheat people. They've seen how quickly he," meaning Iwobi, "has improved and how well he's playing. It's surprising how quickly he's integrated into our game." Now, that's very interesting comment, Sonny, because there's been a lot of criticism in Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa that Iwobi didn't figure more prominently for Nigeria in those recent Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Egypt. He spent most of the time warming one of the touchline seats, and the feeling was that Samson Siasia may have blundered in not giving the teenager more game time. There were also African goals in Spain. Thomas Partey, he's a Ghanaian who's with Atletico Madrid. He scored the last of five goals scored by the Madrid club in a big victory over Real Betis. And another African scorer in La Liga was Pape Diop. He's Senegalese, he plays for Espanyol, and his goal earned a 1-1 draw away to Malaga. Not a goal scorer, but a very prominent player in France, Vincent Enyema, the now retired Nigerian goalkeeper. The reports I'm getting, Sonny, is that he is arguably the best goalkeeper in League One. And at the weekend, he made a series of outstanding saves for Lille on their way to a 3-0 victory at Nantes. Good news for the reigning African Footballer of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon. He hit a bit of a goal drought in the Bundesliga. He hadn't scored for more than a month, which is amazing given his first half of the season performances when he was scoring almost at will. Well, he's back on target. He scored one of the goals as Borussia Dortmund came from behind to beat Werder Bremen by 3-2 in a thriller. And another African on target in the Bundesliga was that little Guinean magician, Ibrahima Traore, very outstanding midfielder at the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations. He scored a final goal as Borussia Mönchengladbach hammered Hertha Berlin by 5-0. But clearly, Sonny, the one we're going to have to keep our eyes very closely on is Alex Iwobi, a teenager at Arsenal, a Nigerian, and certainly one to watch in the weeks and months ahead.
David, let's go back to Spain. Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid end the 39-match unbeaten streak of Barcelona in El Clásico. Your reaction?
Yes, Sonny, an amazing result in the sense that Ramos, not for the first time in his career or even the 10th time in his career, got a red card. He's a Real Madrid lightning rod. Very committed defender, comes forward and scores goals, but also prone to getting those yellow and red cards. But despite the fact that he was sent off in the second half, Real Madrid went to Barcelona, and a man short, they achieved what seemingly was impossible. They beat Barcelona, as you said, the end of a 39-match unbeaten record, Real Madrid coming from behind to triumph by 2-1. And fittingly, the man who scored the winner, Ronaldo. Late in the second half, a deep cross, beautifully controlled by the Portuguese striker, and then slammed the ball past the Chilean goalkeeper, Bravo, into the far corner of the net. But despite that result, you would have to say Barcelona remain firm favourites to win the Liga title. With 7 rounds left, they have 76 points. Atletico Madrid have got 70, and Real Madrid have got 69. And how Real must regret some of those losses in the league earlier in the season. And then, Sonny, if we switch, of course, to England, the fairy tale continues. Leicester City beating Southampton by 1-0. And now with 6 rounds left, they've got a 7-point lead over Tottenham Hotspur, who gained what normally would be quite a credible result, drawing 1-1 away to Liverpool. But unfortunately for Spurs, it meant 2 dropped points. And it now means that if Leicester can win 4 of their remaining 6 matches, the seemingly impossible is going to happen. A club that one normally associates with battles against relegation and who were 5,000-1 outsiders for the league title when the season kicked off will win the title. You think of England, you think of the battle for supremacy, and you think of Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Spurs have been knocking on the door. They're always there or thereabout. But Leicester City, truly, truly amazing, Sonny. This is a team nobody gave a chance to. And yet, 5 of their last 6 matches have been won by 1-0. And they always say that, and I've mentioned it several times on your show, the secret of success in any championship starts with a really good defense. And that's what Leicester have shown in these recent games. They're always able to score that 1 goal, and then they defend heroically to prevent the other side scoring. 4 wins and 6, Sonny, and then the dream comes true. Probably the most amazing finish ever to an English Premier League season. Leicester City winning the title. It's hard to believe, but it's getting closer, Sonny. Very close indeed now.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Joining me in the studio is collegiate basketball player and Voice of America colleague Rick Narciss. Rick, sporty greetings.
Sporty greetings, honey.
Rick, what did you think of that big game on Monday night in Houston, Texas? Villanova 77 and North Carolina 74.
That was one of the biggest games I think I've ever watched in my lifetime. That was just awesome how the game ended. I was rooting for Villanova the whole time, so when that shot went up, I lost it. I knew it was going in. We all jumped up like, oh, my gosh.
Now, Jenkins threw the ball in to start the play, and he threw it to Archie Diacono, the point guard for Villanova. Mm-hmm. Did you think Archie Diacono was going to take the shot?
I thought he was going to take it all the way because he had the hot hand for most of the night. He's getting some tough shots off on Joel Berry, the UNC guard. So I thought he was going to take the final shot, but he made the unselfish play, passed it to Jenkins, and yeah, the 1-2 went right up. Money.
Now, this game is already being called one of the greatest in NCAA history, Rick. How do you think it compares with, say, the great shot that Christian Laettner made back in, I think it was 1992, against Kentucky? That was in the Elite Eight, though. How do you think the two shots compare?
I think the Laettner shot was really impressive because they threw a full-court pass. He gave a little shimmy turnaround. It was awesome. But that game was in the championship. Chris Jenkins won everything on that shot. And so I'd say the Villanova shot was better.
So there was more on the line.
Yeah.
Now, Jenkins has some local ties, right, to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Jenkins, he's from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And he went to school in D.C. at Gonzaga.
Okay. I imagine he doesn't have to worry about buying too many more meals for at least for a few days. I think he'll probably get a few free meals.
Yeah, I think once he comes back in town, especially anywhere he goes, he's like, hey, you guys see that last shot I made? And they're like, oh, definitely. It's on the house, man.
Stick around, Rick. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Monday? Maybe Villanova?
Just a little bit, yeah. Looking at social media right after Chris Jenkins made that shot, I don't think people, you know, had the capacity to tweet out more than just single words. You saw, wow, OMG, amazing, historic. It was just these one word tweets and just this whole list of them. It lit up social media. And there's so many different elements to this. I mean, of course, there's the shot. The fact that Chris Jenkins made that shot and the player on North Carolina who was guarding him was his brother. It's his adopted brother.
Interesting.
Nate Britt. And so lots of people saying that must be, you know, such a heartbreak for Nate Britt and such a, you know, for Chris Jenkins, probably bittersweet. I mean, he won this championship, but it's his brother that, you know, he knows is losing at his, you know, great shot. Another tweet I saw I really liked was a reporter said that the confetti guy was on point. Because this was right after they made that shot, there was a brief question of whether or not it you know, counted. It was off in time or if there was any time left on the clock. But the confetti guy, I guess, watched the clock, saw it went in, saw there's no time, and boom, it was like, you know, storybook ending. As soon as he makes that shot, and just his arms go up and the confetti just falls from the ceiling. So it was, you know, they said perfect timing. Couldn't have done it better than that. And then, of course, for UNC fans, they're getting a lot of grief over the loss with the Michael Jordan crying meme. People are photoshopping Michael Jordan's crying
face. I saw that. I laughed so hard when I saw that.
Yeah, so, but he was there. Michael Jordan was there in his Tar Heel blue. Unfortunately for him, it wasn't a great night. And it's probably not a good day after either because he's has to deal with all these memes now floating around social media.
And in terms of those memes, Rick, I think I saw one. He was sitting next to Jordan at the game, and it said, straight out of the tournament. Straight out of the tournament. You know, North Carolina, you know, I'm sure they were probably very disappointed, but, you know, they got such a great basketball pedigree.
Yeah, they have a lot of great guys, like their point guard, Marcus Page, hit the big double pump shot, like, to tie the game. And then, unfortunately, the next very next play, they lost on a buzzer beater three. But that was a great play on his part. You know, we saw some crazy alley-oops to Bryce Johnson during the game. That guy's ridiculously athletic, and they're going to have good pro careers. So hopefully they don't get too down about losing the championship.
On the social media aspect, Andrew, I did look up Chris Jenkins' Twitter handle, and he's got Big Ticket as part of his handle. And I thought, wow, that's a great handle. Big Ticket punched the ticket for Villanova.
They punched their ticket, you know, six times over, and they're now, you know, working their way through these rounds all the way up to the championship, and they won that championship. I mean, it's just huge for them, huge for, you know, all the fans on social media. Like we talked about yesterday, that T-shirt somebody tweeted out, "Party like it's 1985, which is 31 years since the last time that Villanova won in that historic run. So making maybe history again with this amazing shot. Arguably the best ever, the best ending ever, a lot of people saying.
Now, Andrew, for our Voice of America listeners that maybe aren't quite familiar with the geography of some of these schools, where is Villanova located?
Villanova is located outside of Philadelphia, so it's just about 2.5 hours from Washington, D.C., about 2 hours from New York City, so within the East Coast of the U.S.
Also a proud basketball pedigree. I think one of the people I saw in the stands, in addition to Michael Jordan, was their former coach, Raleigh Massimino. He was in charge of the team way back in 1985.
And that was where the cameras went as soon as they, you know, the confetti started flowing and they went right to him. But just lots of excitement over this and social media. Of course, now we have the women tonight, so that's going to be interesting. Kind of a different story. You have UConn is going for its fourth championship in a row. A dynasty.
Unprecedented.
And then you have Syracuse making their first ever tournament appearance. So that'll be interesting to watch tonight. But there's still some, you know, kind of hangover from last night on social media. Another tweet I saw I really liked. Somebody had taken a picture. They were watching the game on their cell phone while they were at Major League Baseball opening day at the Cubs game, the late night game. So they were saying they were able to watch both, but it was kind of an odd convergence of sports. You had NCAA basketball and Major League Baseball kind of in the same tweet that went out.
You mentioned on Monday's show, Andrew, how some of the baseball players were wearing their caps backward in honor of opening day and supporting their team. I saw one of Magic Johnson with his Los Angeles Dodgers cap backward, but I'm guessing he took a quick glimpse of that title game last night.
I think there were probably a lot of people. You know, that one tweet I saw where somebody had the cell phone on, I wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot of people that were watching that at, you know, whatever baseball games or other events they were at. Another video I saw posted on social media, somebody was watching the game, and right as Chris Jenkins made the shot, they changed the channel. And it was just like, you could just hear him go, "No!" And this, you know, somebody was thought they were being a jokester, but it was, you know, but it's all these little moments. We get these little slices of, you know, how different people are absorbing this game, how they're watching it, how they're reacting to it. And social media brings us into all of that, and we wouldn't get to see.
In terms of absorbing and watching the game, Andrew, one colleague said they couldn't even find the game last night. It was on TBS,
yeah, this
which is it's a pretty big cable station here in the USA, but it's not one of the major network stations.
Right. Your thoughts. It's on CBS, which is, you know, everybody gets CBS, one of the basic channels. But the interesting thing that they've done is they had the game on TBS and then on two other channels that are owned by the same company, TNT and True TV, they had a Villanova broadcast of the game and a North Carolina broadcast of the game. Same, you know, same game, same video at the same time, but they just had different announcers. So you could kind of pick and choose which one you wanted.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thanks for joining us again, Andrew.
My pleasure. And if I can make one quick plug for hashtag VOA, the show we're doing on hashtag equal play for equal pay. It's the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They're spearheading that campaign. It's going to be on voanews.com/hashtag VOA in about half an hour.
Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Rick Narciss.
Thanks for having me, Sonny.
And that wraps up the April 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
During the 31st regular session of the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, United States delegates raised concerns regarding human rights in Syria, Iran, Burundi, South Sudan, North Korea, and China. They also highlighted abuses in several other countries. The delegates congratulated the government of Burma for taking key steps in the direction of democracy, but noted concern about continued military influence over the parliament and key ministries, abuses and discrimination against ethnic and religious minorities, and continued legal restrictions on freedoms of speech, assembly, and association. The United States led a joint statement on freedom of expression and peaceful transitions within democracies. 66 countries supported the statement, welcoming actions taken by states undergoing transitions to protect freedom of expression. The United States also supported important resolutions on the need for the protection of human rights defenders and the freedom to peacefully protest. The Council defeated an unprecedented number of hostile amendments, 31, which aimed to weaken the resolution on human rights defenders. U.S. Deputy Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Theodore Allegra, highlighted abuses in Latin America. The Venezuelan government uses detentions to suppress and punish government critics, including the political opposition, civil society, and independent media, he said. We call for the release of political prisoners and justice for those tortured and mistreated in detention. He also called on Cuba to end the practice of arbitrary short-term detention, respect freedoms of expression and assembly, and release all political prisoners. Regarding Russia, Mr. Allegra said the U.S. remains concerned about the occupation of Crimea and Russia's actions in eastern Ukraine. Domestically, the Russian government increasingly restricts freedom of expression while creating a climate of impunity for harassment and attacks against activists, journalists, and the political opposition. The promotion of human rights remains a pillar of U.S. foreign policy. The fight for greater freedom, greater respect, greater dignity is a unifying narrative of our humanity in all its diversity, Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken said recently. That is why we are very proud to join this council in upholding our common responsibility to this universal pursuit. The United Nations Human Rights Council celebrated its 10th anniversary this month. The United States' commitment to the mandate and mission of the Council runs deep into our nation's history, Deputy Secretary of State Blinken said in an address to the high-level segment. It is engraved into our nation's founding values and etched into the standards we strive to hold ourselves to every day.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modu talks about autism, still an ailment with no known specific cause and no known cure yet. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Else chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the role of development partners in promoting democracy and good governance in Africa. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.